We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, we have producer and co-founder, Mr. Brian Goins.
Hey, guys.
How are you? Welcome back. You were out for a bit.
It was 1 week.
For 1 week, now you're back. We have professional screw-up, Alex Toledo.
What's going on?
Chillin'. And we have Heat Twitter president, Alf.
I'm no longer the president. Heat Twitter has broken me.
Alf is so mad about today, and
they broke me today, man. I'm done.
They broke you today. Okay, we'll get into that in a second. And we welcome in today on her maiden voyage, Candace Buckner of Post Sports. She covers the Wizards. Welcome to the program, Candace.
Thanks for having me, guys.
This is exciting. We love getting new people on, so we can show you all the nonsense that we do around here on the Heat Beat Podcast, now part of the Five Reasons Podcast Network, started by Ethan Skolnick and Chris Whittingham, where you can get all sorts of podcasts all around Miami sports and Miami culture, from The Balls Cast, which is everything and anything weird in Miami, to 3 Yards Per Carry, which is a Dolphins podcast. We have a wrestling podcast. We have a Hurricanes podcast coming up. That announcement is going to be very soon. We have so much stuff here, very local. So please check that out at Five Reasons Sports on Twitter. There's an Instagram page. Check out the feed for the flagship show with Ethan Skolnick and Chris Whittingham. They just had Udonis Haslam on. That was awesome. I know I talked about that last show, but check that out because this great Sedano was on last week as well. So tons of stuff going on at the network.
This week on the Five Reasons Podcast, join for a wide-ranging, fun, and funny interview with Udonis Haslam of the Miami Heat.
I remember growing up, you know, I used to stay in Lake and Sharon Apartments. Now they call it Crystal Lake. You know, this is in Kara City. I moved around a little bit, and I remember being at the park, and you know, I got into it with this little kid, and he punched me in the mouth and ran and knocked my tooth out, and I couldn't find him. I was so pissed off, I couldn't find him. He ran, he knocked my tooth out and ran, and I went home, and my tooth was knocked out. He saw me crying, and he told me, if I don't go outside and find that kid and kick his ass, if I come home, I'm going to get my ass whooped by him. I looked for that kid for 3 hours, and when I found him, I kicked his ass.
Check out that interview and much more on the Five Reasons Podcast, available on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. Want to introduce you to the newest podcast on the Five Reasons Sports Network. It is a soccer podcast. It's called Pitch Invasion. My name is Chris Whittingham. I'll be hosting it throughout the World Cup, and then we'll continue after the World Cup. But right now, we're focused on the World's Tournament. It is 32 teams battling it out for one trophy. I'll be recapping the games basically after every 2 days worth of action. So every other day, we'll be putting on a podcast, recapping all the latest action, talking about all the major storylines. We'll get some guests on, and we'll have a great time talking about this World Cup. It's been really fun so far, so you're going to want to check out Pitch Invasion. Subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Free agency is upon us. It's a very exciting time. We're tracking LeBron's vacation homes where Pete put something on Instagram, and we're like doing detective work on Twitter trying to figure out if that's Miami or some island off the coast of God knows where. Candace, did you see that today?
No, I was busy with the Wizards draft pick and his introductory press conference, so I missed everything.
Oh, that's
else.
Right. You guys had a pick. I wonder what that feels like. Well, the draft was a fun experience because, I mean, Woj stole the show, right? Like, in an otherwise uninteresting draft, because there's not really, like, a lot of trade action. Like, Woj and his thesaurus Synonyms? Stole the show. Yeah, Synonyms, thesaurus. That was, let me tell you something. That was something for the ages.
Sure. I was, again, just paying attention to what Washington was doing. So I don't know if I think I retweeted somebody's funny take on that, but I was kind of working, so I didn't get a chance to really care.
Candace gets to avoid all the nonsense that occupies our time.
If I didn't have a first round pick to like care about, then I totally would be enjoying it. But I was once Michael Porter Jr. started slipping, then I was like, oh snap, he's going to fall to the Wizards. So I need to start making some calls and doing some background work on if they saw him actually work out, if he's an option and all that stuff. So I missed most of it. I saw it in rewind, like Woj's tweets and reviewed by people.
How many times did you accidentally call him Otto Porter Jr.?
Which one? Michael?
Yes.
Never, because even my cousin, and I'm from St. Louis, so like not even my nephew was thinking, did you know that Michael Porter Jr. and Otto Porter Jr. are brothers? Which is impossible if they're both juniors.
Yeah, can't be juniors.
But no, it's to me they're so separate, and Michael Porter Jr. I always mess his name up as MJP, not MPJ. So
okay.
So I would never call him Otto or Kelly.
Okay, yeah, that would be bad. But yeah, so we had the draft go on. Not much trade activity, particularly for the Heat. Nothing going on. I know that there was talk about them buying a second rounder. They didn't get in the game for that. Mm-hmm. And I guess where I want to start the show, and it kind of plays into why Alf is a grouch this morning, is like Heat fans, Candace, have been so like, Alf, you want to say bratty? Is bratty the word?
Spoiled. Wrong.
I would say chesty. From outside looking in, I found Heat fans chesty. To be a chesty team, C-H-E-S-T-Y.
What does that mean?
As an essay. You take your chest out and you think that you're, you know,
awesome.
You're all that because of that big three era.
Yeah, and I, you're right now,
and I think that, you know, don't come at me, Heat Twitter, but the main story of you guys were chesty, and that even bled into the post-LeBron years. It's like, what are you chesty about? He's gone. But
now we just fight amongst each other. We're not as chesty.
But that Candace is so right, though. I mean, we like cocky Heat fan will get reborn for anything. Like Miami has a good like 4-game streak, and we think we could beat anyone. We're awful.
As opposed to the Wizards, who I think they're a fatalist group. they are like every time I tweet about a comment from the front office, which of course the front office, the face of it is Ernie Grunfeld. There's no like, okay, we'll give him a chance here. He is out of chances. It's zero tolerance now when it comes to the Grunfeld shade. So like every single thing that happens with this franchise, it's like, here we go again, or hashtag fire Grunfeld. They're a very frustrated, fatalistic group at this point in their time.
Well, here, half the fan base wants Riley gone, and the other half worships at his altar, and there's no in between. Like, people here, like half of the fan base is really mad because he's done nothing in like asset acquisition, and they feel like
Riley?
Miami's just, yeah, like half the, like they really don't like him. They want him gone. They feel like he's been incredibly lucky throughout his career, particularly with the big three.
That's too chesty. Just chill with that. That is probably one of the best executives in the history of the game.
Okay. Candace, I'm a big fan again.
Candace, you were ingratiating yourself to the half of Heat Twitter that we that listens to us. No, but like people, Alf, you were fighting with these people all morning, the anti-Riley crowd.
Yeah, it could, but like you were saying, and like Candace said, we used to be chesty. I like that word now.
I like it.
That should be the name of the episode, Chesty Heat Fan.
Yep.
But we used to be chesty. We used to be out there talking a lot of shit all day long. Because we had the big three, we got spoiled. And then now, like, these, like, our fans have, they cannot, they can't take any kind of adversity. First round exit to them is the worst thing that could possibly happen. Not considering the fact that there are teams that can't even make the playoffs. So we're I guess we're starting to become, our fan base is starting to become a little fatalistic, I guess, like the Wizards fans. Because it doesn't matter what we do or what the front office does, they're wrong.
Right? Interesting.
And Riley has made some missteps. Like, we're not all, I'm not going to sit here and defend everything he's ever done. I mean, Dion Waiters needing ankle surgery and giving him a 4-year deal is probably not the smartest move in the history of mankind. But at the end of the day, over, what is it now, almost a 30-year track record, I mean, the man has proven his worth and proven his value. It just, to me, it's just funny the way he stands at.
Yeah, I mean, R.C. Buford has made mistakes. Bob Myers hasn't batted 1,000 since he's taken over at the Warriors. It's, you know, Phil Jackson had his miscues, but I don't think he was the reason why the Knicks suck. He was just an easy target, because he's so cocky himself. So, like, every great GM is going to make mistakes. I just don't understand that. You know, with the job that Spoelstra did, not last season, but the year before that, with all the injuries, I thought was excellent. And I think that happens when you have a built-in culture and a franchise. And the Heat culture, and it's such a cliche to say culture, but that comes from Pat Riley. So even when things are falling apart and things are broken, if your team is in order, if your house is in order, you can still compete. And even though, they didn't make the playoffs, the year before, the season before, right?
Yep.
But the job that Spoelstra did and what they got out of James Johnson and some of their other players, I thought was, like, Tyler Johnson too, I thought was fantastic. And that just doesn't happen with every franchise, because stuff will fall apart when when you don't have that sort of good foundation, good leadership.
But Candace, culture has become pretty much a bad word around here.
Oh,
because that's, and not to us. Not, well, not, I won't say all of us, but not to, I guess, sort of the Riley faithful amongst us, because we do believe, okay, you have a team, you have culture, you can come out. You know, my biggest problem is that Heat fans act like any mistake that happens is the doom of the franchise. It's the end of the world. Like, you literally have people out there that say the Heat will never contend again until about 2025. They legit think we're in a 10-15-year hole because we gave James Johnson $16 million a year. These, like, when you talk about fatalists, these are we have a bunch of doomsday prep guys running around here with gas masks and bunkers because Dion Waiters has ankle surgery. It's absolutely insane.
Well, I didn't think they made, I mean, the summer 2016, almost every team made bad mistakes, and there's nothing that really jumps out. And was James Johnson signed in the summer of 16?
Yes,
summer 17.
Tyler was, for sure. Okay, Tyler certainly was, but I just don't feel that they made such terrible mistakes that they can't dig themselves out of. Unlike the team that I cover, in which they gave Jan Mahimi a $64 million contract to be a backup. He was always going to be a backup. Maybe they thought that he was going to be able to usurp Marcin Gortat, but when you get injured the second day of training camp and you miss the first couple months and then come back and need another round of surgery, that's a bad decision.
That's well, a Candace, Jostling the, Roberts.
Well, no, well, Candace, the Heat gave Tyler Johnson like $50+ million yeah. dollars to be a backup, you know, so.
Well, I understand if that's what the market, if he was going to get that from, what, the Nets?
The yes. Nets. You never follow the Nets. Whatever the Nets do, you yeah. run away from.
And they gave Otto Porter that max offer, max contract offer sheet. And last year, the Wizards had to match. So darn those Nets for screwing up the Southeast division.
Candace, because Otto's a guy so. That we want. Like, I know a lot of Heat fans have looked at Otto and said, hey, like, can we move Hassan or something? Because if the Wizards want a big or like, that's a guy that Heat fans really like because he fits kind of Spoelstra's model of positionless, kind of run and gun, defending basketball. Like,
I still think they like him, but if this team wants to take a big swing to get out of this financial, you know, kind of lockdown phase that they're in right now, they're going to have to consider trading him because he's one of their assets. But he has like he has a trade kicker. So
don't they all?
I don't see that happening right one season after giving him the max and saying, we screwed up. We have to get rid of one of the players whom we've drafted, groomed, and we need as one of our core and just get rid of him for Hassan Whiteside?
The Wizards are kind of like in a weird position because they have stars. Like John Wall's like a legitimate top 15 player, right? Like John Wall's every bit as good as Kyrie Irving. And that's what Boston's crowding around as their best player. And just Washington's situation just feels so whole. I don't know, Boston has the young picks and everything, but Bradley Beal is, you know, just about as, I mean, when Bradley Beal's healthy and playing well, like as a defender, as a shooter, as a scorer, like that guy's really freaking good. And they have two guys, and it just seems like nothing else. Like, their situation seems hopeless when they have talent, which is kind of weird.
Yeah, it's crazy. Bradley Beal is about to be 25. No, he's going to be 25 in 3 days before the season starts. John Wall's going to be 28 going into his ninth season. So they're veterans, and I'm not using that term lightly, but their veterans are super young. And you would think, oh, my gosh, they're set for years. However, this team has made it to the second round three times, and that, as far as they are currently constructed, that looks like their plateau. So they need another piece or more pieces. But when you look at the roster and the salary, the team's salary, it's like where is that money going to come from to help these two young guys who are, I don't even think. They've reached their prime. Maybe John Wall is starting to flirt with his prime because he's 28. But Bradley Beal is an all-star.
He's going to get better, yeah.
Yeah, and he's only going to get better. So these guys are approaching their prime, and it does kind of seem like, oh my gosh, just where's this team going?
And conversely, division rival Miami doesn't have those stars, but they have a bunch of they're probably missing the in-betweeners that the Wizards would want. Like Miami has a bunch of good role guys, Kelly, James Johnson, Bam, Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, like very serviceable guys that, and they don't have anybody like any star. I was looking at the payroll. This would have been Chris Bosh's last season, playing like of that contract that he signed, that max deal. And like that, man, and I know we don't want to do the Chris Bosh show anymore, but that hurts like a lot. Like he's so good. Why are you laughing, Alf?
Because you said you don't want to do the Chris Bosh show, and we're about to do the Chris Bosh show.
We're not going to do the Chris Bosh show. We are not going to do the Chris Bosh show.
But just picture him as a starting five instead of Hassan Whiteside, and that's it. That's all you got to say.
We're not doing the Chris Bosh show. It makes me sad. But, guys, like, I was looking at Miami's cap situation, and because, you know, last week, Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald reported that there's a good chance that if Wade plays again, he's going to take the mid-level taxpayer exception, which is like around 5.4, 5.5 million, depending on the cap. The cap's going to be 101 million next season. Miami's already committed 145 million next year. The tax threshold is at 120. So I have no idea. Cause like now there's talk of like them finding a way to keep Wayne Ellington. And I'm like, are you good? Like, the Mickey Arison that has been like staunchly no tax is now going to pay tax. Like at this point, like they might have to give Dwayne the money just as a PR move, if anything else. But I don't understand this idea, Alf, of like them trying to fit Wayne in. Like, what are they doing? Like,
I mean, I and this is gonna sound weird. I don't even care. I'm sorry, I don't care. Like, I'm not this idea of like me worrying about Mickey Arison spending money on the cap. Like, I don't care if he spends money.
But like,
on
the cap. we gotta look at it.
No, I understand, but we don't know all the machinations that are going to happen. Like, we have no idea. Like, us sitting here wringing our hands about, is Wayne Ellington going to get $10 million? Like, who gives a crap? Like, really? Like, we don't know what's going to happen by the trade deadline. We have no clue what's going on. Like, Candace is up there in Washington, and Gortat says he's about to be traded. Like, things are still going to happen. We're hearing at the end of June about how much money Wayne Ellington is going to get. It's like who cares? Like there's so much other stuff that needs to fall in place or fall out of place.
Alfred, we got to look at it from the point of view of like what's like rational. What behavior are they going to exhibit? And I know that there's still a lot to happen, and they haven't even guys. Not everyone's done opting in and out yet, but just like trying to bend the idea, like wrap my mind around the idea of this team being a taxpayer team. When it's about 500, and like they've been, and you're rolling your eyes. Like, take this seriously, damn it! Like,
I don't know what you want me. I don't want you want me to do.
I don't know, but like, it doesn't make any sense.
Shut up, Candace. Where do you? Okay, out of the top three free agents, we're talking about Paul George. We're talking about LeBron, and I guess Kawhi is not a free agent. He's going to be traded. Where do you give me where you think all three of those guys are going to end up? Because this nonsense about Wayne Ellington is honestly giving me a migraine. I don't care where
you don't care. All right, so I covered Paul George at the beginning of his ascendancy into being Paul George, you know, top 15 player. I came the year after he had that major dunk on Birdman. But Pacers lost in game 7. So, you know, I think that dunk, which, you know, Brian Shaw, who was this is a long answer, but Brian Shaw, who was an assistant at the Pacers at that point, thought it was, you know, his bar mitzvah. Paul George became a man. And then I came in that next season when the Pacers were number one all season long, and Paul was getting his first taste of fame and infamy. And all the things that are associated with being an NBA superstar. So I set that up to say, I kind of have an idea of Paul George and his character. Listen, I'm not a psychiatrist. He's never been on my couch, and I've never psychoanalyzed him. But Paul is a people pleaser. And Paul does not like hurting. Paul does not like being the bad guy. And I don't know if it's about hurting other people's feelings, but he is a self-preservation. He does not like to be spoken about badly. He does not want to be the dude that's not, you know, putting a smile on everybody's face. So all this stuff about, sources say that he's likely to return to Oklahoma or the Thunder or feeling optimistic. I don't buy any of that. I think that's what he's telling the front office, but someone had a tweet that once he gets in front of Magic Johnson, that's going to be hard to turn down. Not only that, once he gets in front of the Lakers, he can get in front of the Lakers equipment manager and he'll tell the equipment manager, hey, I'm coming to LA. He just wants people to like him. He doesn't want controversy. He doesn't want to be the guy to like stand up and say, I don't know if he can be that guy. I just don't think it's in his character. Not to say he's a bad dude, but you know, all of us have our quirks. And I think one of his quirks is he cannot say what he really wants to your face. So I do think he's going to end up in L.A. If he returns to the Thunder, I'll be shocked. I'm going to say that. I think he returns to L.A. LeBron, I just don't see him going out to the West when he can lose to the Golden State Warriors in the first round or second round of the conference playoffs instead of the finals. So while you know, you guys are searching for, you know, new real estate holdings for LRMR, whatever it's called. I think he's going to stay in the East. That's my gut. Why would he want to lose to the Warriors in the second round for the rest of his career?
Miami Heat Beat brought to you by Miss Inc. Go to miss-inc.com. That's 305-537-6400.
365, missinc.com. Social media problem solvers. They do social media marketing and content writing. Been in business since January of 2008. That was during the Heat's terrific 15-win season. They believe in personal customized approach to marketing, and as such, they only represent businesses that are serious about taking their visibility to the next level. Social media marketing requires much more than just a blog or profiles on websites like Facebook and Twitter. It takes smart strategy and a daily interactive focus. That's why the 5 Reasons Sports Network is working with Miss Inc. They don't believe in cookie cutter strategies or in boxing your business in with others in your industry. Here's where you go, missinc.com. Again, it's missinc.com, or call 305-537-6465.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas of Miami Heat Beat, and I'm here to introduce you to our newest partner, which, like us, and if you know me, you know how Miami I am. This is pure South Florida. And it's Doral Toyota, where you can find all your favorite Toyota models. Whether you're looking for a new, used, or certified pre-owned vehicle, Doral Toyota is located at 9775 Northwest 12th Street, just a few blocks from the International and Dolphin Mall. Experience the Doral difference, which means 4 years complimentary maintenance and roadside assistance on all new vehicles. And let me tell you something, that peace of mind, you cannot buy that. I know when I got a new car and it wasn't at Doral Toyota, I was upset because of how many problems I was having, and I was wishing I had a dealer being accountable and helping me. Also, if you mention Miami Heat Beat when you call 305-680-1129 or come in, you'll get to work with a dedicated manager, not a salesperson. So it's someone who's high up, who's willing to work with you. And unlike other dealers, Doral Toyota prides itself on honest and transparent buying service. That's Doral Toyota. DoralToyota.com, or stop in at 9775 Northwest 12th Street. Se habla español aquí en Doral Toyota. That's another thing that, like, just the idea of stars staying in the West, like, that's another thing that I don't understand. Like, why go there? Like, it doesn't, and just even Houston is scary. Like, Houston would terrify me if I'm, even if I'm LeBron, that would terrify me. Like, why would anybody sign up for that conference? Like, the East is to be had. Like, LeBron won the East with nothing, with a guy who can't remember. Like, he literally won with a guy who can't remember the score.
Alex, who were you saying? Where did you say you think LeBron's going to end up? Because you're not one of these people who think he's going to end up in Miami, are you?
Not really.
It's fun, though. It's fun to talk about.
The season ended. Now it just kind of feels like LA's going to happen. I get the whole thing where why would he go to the West? But I kind of feel like LeBron doesn't feel that way. I don't think LeBron looks at the Rockets and is like, oh, I can't beat them. I think it's, he thinks in his mentality, if I team up with another guy or two, and, you know, do my thing in LA, I'll be fine. I think he thinks he's going to win titles.
Candace, I think that's something that...
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, and that's something that I always fail to mention, that LA has a potential to sign two max guys. So it depends on if LeBron and Paul are talking. Say, okay, if you go, I'll go. But that roster would still look so lopsided, even if both of them go to the Lakers. I don't know where's their depth. Is Lonzo ready to take the next step? How does Lonzo fit in if LeBron's going to be on the ball? I don't know. I guess all that stuff can be sorted out in October. But if he does go out to L.A., I think he'll be going there with the assurance that somebody else is coming with him.
You talk about LeBron sharing the ball. What do you think about LeBron going to Philly? Because that's where I think he should go.
Yeah.
I think he will go to L.A., but I really think Philly is the play.
Yeah, I agree. And I've heard that. Well, where does that put Ben Simmons? Because he's on the ball. But Ben's game is still developing. Bron is 33, 34. Okay. So he's in his 30s, and he's already passed year number 15. He'll have enough players, enough talent already on that roster. So he doesn't have to be on the ball all the time. I know that he's a playmaker, but I thought the best thing about Miami, besides the great weather and being near his trainer, that he didn't always have to be on the ball.
Listen, Candace, it was 200 degrees today. I don't think it's good weather. It's awful. Like you can't go outside without melting right now.
So I'm sorry.
Well, that's everywhere in the country.
Touchy subject.
I was a big follower of Kobe's career, and I always thought, man, if they can get a real point guard at the dawn of his career, then maybe he could do a little bit more and get off the ball. And I was excited when Steve Nash went there, and then what, two games in, that experiment went south.
The whole season went to shit.
I think if you're around talent and you're around people who can handle the ball around you, I think that will add some verve and some years that he probably needs at this point in his career.
We were talking in our group chat earlier, like if LeBron opts in, that cannot bode well for LA. Right?
If he opts into his contract?
If he opts in right now, because then if he opts in, then there's more, because, you know, a lot of other teams like Houston, Miami, those would have to be trades. They don't have cap space for that. Especially, you know, so if he opts into the deal in Cleveland, that would give you an indication that he's going to get moved or stay there. He might opt in with kind of an understanding with Cleveland. Hey, like, this is what's going to happen. Like, I want to go here. Do you want something back? Right? Because if not, LA's out of the table. They can't, right? Like, if he opts in, they're not trading him to LA.
Right.
There's just cap space there. Like, he could just go.
All I know is that the team that I cover, they're not going to sign him. So I haven't gotten to the minutia of like plan C, plan D, and E. So I'll take a left turn out of this conversation.
Well, see, Candace does that. He gets bogged down in the details of some spread pick and roll.
I haven't mentioned spread pick and roll once.
I know, but like you're getting
I gave you some salary cap.
You're getting
number.
Into cap machinations of Wayne Ellington, dude. Like,
numbers were completely wrong.
What do you mean they're wrong? No, they're not.
You were counting Wade as if he was going to make $20 million again this season.
No, I wasn't.
Yes, it was.
Was I?
That's his cap hold. But they're not going to sign him to that freaking $20 million a year.
I see. Oh, wow. I bought that. Yeah, you're right. I see that.
You slowed down the show with cap numbers that you got wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that's why. No wonder it was 145. I was like, man, that's a lot of money. I was like, they're $25 million over the salary threshold.
I had no idea our salary was up there with Golden State's.
But do you understand? Hold on. Do you understand why I brought that up? Because I was like, 140. You know what I even did? Because that number seems so astronomical to me. I looked at the last year of the Big Three, and I compared that salary and that their salary and the cap space, the cap number, to what it was this year. I'm shook. Yeah. I'm leaking confidence.
That was just-
yeah. It's 124 million.
I'm stuttering.
Okay, Candace. Yeah. No, I got another question for Candace. Shut up. Mm-hmm. Candace, what do you think? Kawhi comes east, or do you think they work it out in San Antonio? Because it just seems like they will not trade him west, which makes absolute sense.
Absolutely.
Because they're smart over it. But so, do you think he comes east, or they work it out?
They have until next February to actually do something. So if I'm them, I'm just sitting back, chilling, knowing that they still got to, I'm screwing up that cliche. So maybe not, I shouldn't just talk in like cliches, knowing that they still have control. They don't have to give it up just yet. So they could get whatever they want and just sit back and have good deals roll in. And if it's in the West, I don't think they'll say no. If they're going to get like a tremendous assets in return, and they shouldn't just say no, but why would they trade them to the Lakers and have them start building another super team? But if I was the Spurs, and I think my hunch is they're gonna wait it out.
Yeah, I don't see why they try to get it resolved before the LeBron decision is made. Like, there's no point of them trying to do that.
Do you think that he sits out this year as well if he can play? Like, let's say they don't move him.
That would be a mistake.
No way. Like, he can't do that.
Because if they're really, like, they were a good team last year without him. And if he's as good as we all say he is and know he is, that team's going to be a lot better with him.
I think that team's going to have to readjust once he comes back, because remember that LaMarcus Aldridge was was freed to kind of be the man like he was in Portland. And I don't think LaMarcus knows how to play as a supplementary guy. I think he kind of needs to be, things need to be focused around him.
Brian, you were going to say something?
Actually, I was reading a story earlier today that came out. Paul Gasol says that he doesn't think that the situation with Kawhi Leonard can be fixed. That's coming from an interview in Spain from a Spanish publication called EP Deportes.
Man, the European guys always give the best interviews when they're back home.
Paul's spilling the beans. And Tony Parker made this mess in the first place.
That's funny.
Okay, I got another question for Candace, and this is coming from the... from Nikias.
No, you sound like you're reading. Hold on, you sound like you're reading like mailbag questions. Like,
I'm sitting here excited.
I'm also playing the imaging.
This is a town hall for Canada.
Welcome to a new segment we like to call the Heatbeat Mailbag. You've sent us your questions and hot takes using the hashtag MHBMailbag. Now it's our turn to give you our answers and tell you how wrong your opinions are.
Alf's face tells me that he understands when he hates Brian's producing as much as I do.
Oh, I did understand how you're doing a mailbag when I have one question. But anyway.
That's what I'm saying. That's why he's a bad producer. This is a conflict I have. This is how I live. This is what I've tethered myself to for 5 years.
Just ask Nikias NBA's question.
Nikias wants you to tell a story or give the background on gang sign John Wall.
Man, I was toiling in Indiana when that actually became a thing. I guess it happened during the Atlanta series a couple years back, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Darn it, I miss gang sign John Wall.
So he doesn't do it anymore?
Well, what is that? I don't even know what that is.
Last year, I can't remember. I mean, he missed half the season, literally half the season. And
Candace, what is this? I'm unfamiliar with gang sign John Wall.
It's on Twitter.
Colin Cowherd would say.
It's on Twitter, and apparently he throws up. He does something with his fingers. I've seen the clip. I have no clue what it's supposed to mean.
Well, Alex, you know gang sign John Wall. Give the background.
No. We'll play out there.
This is great.
This has been the most Candace. Listen,
these
last 2 minutes have been the most our show this has ever been. Brian's an awful producer, as you saw by that exhibition of awful sound being played. Alex is our professional screw up, as introduced in the beginning of the show, and his stuff constantly never works or he's late to the show. Alex, time to shine, is about to make a point. Mike dies.
You guys couldn't hear me?
No, we can.
Well, I thought.
Okay, just shut your mic
off. Okay, he's done.
I got another question for Candace.
moving the story.
No, because Candace was, dude. You guys got to remember, Candace was in Indiana during some of the, well, at least that one Eastern Conference Finals, right, Candace?
The 13-14 year, yeah.
Do you have any stories from that finals? Something that really stuck out to you? Anything?
Let's see. Okay, so of course that series will always go down as the Lance blowing in LeBron's ear.
Good time.
Let's see. Roy shrinking. That was the beginning of the end of Roy Hibbert. Actually, that whole entire playoff run was the beginning of the end of Roy Hibbert. Let's see what else. What else? That was good. That I've never reported. Arr, guys, that was a couple years ago.
Catfish. Anything about the catfish?
I had to write about the catfish.
How did you feel as a journalist who went to school and is accomplished that you had to write about catfish?
Yeah, I told this story recently. I remember a shoot around in Chicago. Of course, the Pacers were still like the top team in the East, so they were getting a lot of national love. For some reason, Brian Windhorst was there for that game. So all this stuff is like breaking like the day before. And the first time we get Paul is at the morning shoot around before the Bulls game. And I'll give Paul credit for this. I actually do think, and I tell people all the time, I think deep down, Paul's a good dude. He was always good to deal with. He always stood up after losses and talked, sometimes to his detriment, because that's when he really started to, I guess, go to the school of NBA superstars when they learn that, oh, okay, I have to complain about the referees in order to be taken seriously. So he was like in the throes of that. But just to say, he talked every day. He didn't shy away from hard stuff. And I respected that about him. So that shoot around, I pitched some, you know, softball questions to him because guys, you know, you're standing in front of these guys, you're with them pretty much every day. And you want to kind of treat them as human beings. You don't want to just shove a recorder in his face. So I was like in catfish, Paul. So I threw some silly little questions. No, not, I won't say silly, but, you know, innocuous little questions about the game and about matchups and stuff like that. And he answered them. I think he knew it was coming. And the way we got into it, I don't know if it was me or Brian, but the way we got into it was, how are you able to keep, you know, focus with so much stuff going on in your life? And he answered that. And then we were able to get straight into the
veteran move.
Yeah. And then we were able to actually, you know, ask about the pictures that were circulating online, his thoughts about that, the person who sent it out. And Paul, like a veteran, blamed the media for it because it was, he said he wasn't catfish. He knew who sent it out. It's not a big deal, but no, for his part, he answered the question and he can blame the media if he wants to, but it was one of those times when I said that, you know, that year he was learning about fame and infamy. And also there were, you know, later that year, he made news for impregnating an exotic dancer while on that he met in Miami. Yeah. So it's like there was a lot of things happening that year with Paul as he learned what it meant to be, you know, kind of like a franchise guy and the pitfalls that kind of come with that.
Is Lance legit crazy or is that an act on the bus? Like, is he crazy for real?
I think Lance is painted with a different brush stroke than the rest of us. So that's what makes him his edge. That's what makes him a basketball player that will work in this league, preferably with the Indiana Pacers, because as we have seen, he hasn't really worked elsewhere.
That's so weird. How many times has that ever happened? Like, a guy only works out in one place and then he comes back there and then, like, I don't know. Is there a precedent for that?
Dwayne Wade.
I'm about to say Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
Moving on, Brian. Yep. We're not gonna. Yep. Absolutely correct.
They just declined Lance's option today too, didn't they?
Yep.
They did after that series?
They're supposed to be able to, I think one of the reporters who covers them now said that they're still open to signing him later in the process. And as much as I know that Lance enjoys, and he brought a house there. As much as he enjoys Indiana, I think he may wait around unless he just gets I cannot refuse this offer. I do see him kind of waving around and seeing if he can return to Indiana.
So that kind of reminds me of the Dion Waiters situation with Oklahoma City of a couple of years ago where Dion kind of waited it out for a bit and then all the money dried up and then Dion was left having to take a prove-it deal. Would you guys like Lance on a prove-it deal, understanding that Miami has an influx of guards?
Lance Stevenson?
Yeah.
For you guys?
I don't know if I like him for us only because we have way too many guards. Like, they don't know what to do.
Yeah, I'm straight. I'm straight on Lance.
You're good. You're good. Yeah, you're good with that, Lance.
He wouldn't fit into the culture.
Right? No, yeah.
We can fix anybody. We can culture anybody.
You know what? He might. I mean, next to Udonis Haslam, he might fit into the culture. They're both crazy.
Did you hear what Haslam said on Ethan's pod last week?
About what he said to Lance? Did you hear that, Candace?
No. What did he say to Lance? I thought he said, I was going to beat your... And this I don't curse because I'm L7 square.
You have the sound, Brian?
I don't have the sound, but I have the quote. It says, I ain't got nothing to lose. I'll fuck you up.
that sounds even more Udonis-like. Okay.
Udonis has a rep, right, Candace, around the league?
Sure. I mean, who's really talking about him now? Because he doesn't play.
Blake Griffin didn't mention him on a big podcast.
No, that's why.
Perkins. Like, okay, he's a tough guy, but he doesn't play. So you can.
Hold on, is Kendrick Perkins a tough guy? Because like we make fun of Kendrick Perkins here. Like, yeah, like in Miami, like all we've done is make fun of Kendrick Perkins. Like, I can't take Kendrick Perkins seriously.
He's still a moose to me.
Like Kevin Garnett, like, well, the people that say that Kevin Garnett's a tough guy, like, I can't take their basketball opinion seriously because, like, all we've done is meme him for, like, the better part of a decade.
Wait, didn't Kevin Garnett call Charlie Villanueva really awful names?
Yeah.
Yes.
Kevin Garnett, or something like that?
Yes. Kevin Garnett's very mean.
Kevin Garnett picks on small white guys and Europeans. That's what he does.
That's his move.
Yeah. It served him well. Candace, does Gortat get traded or is he there next year?
I do think the Wizards are actively trying to. It just depends on I can't say yes or no because I just don't see teams this summer wanting to take hit in his salary, even though he's expiring, but want to take in his salary when he's a 34-year-old center who does, you know, two things well in today's NBA. He doesn't shoot, and his range is limited. And when he does get touches, he really has to be set up. So
can you convince Ernie to take Whiteside? Like that, really, our biggest reason for having you on the show, and because two more years. Just we want you to go back and convince Ernie that he needs Hassan Whiteside back.
Well, you guys would have to take Gortat.
That's fine.
Yeah, we'll take Gortat.
That's fine.
He's expiring, right? He's done next summer. We'll take him.
How much is he making next year?
Hassan Whiteside is making $23 million.
That's a lot of money. They're gonna have
25 million. He made 23 last season. He's 25 this year.
That's like Otto Porter money, but Otto's like 25. So yeesh.
Hassan's 29.
Huh?
Hassan is 29.
Oh.
Let's do the deal, Candace. Let's get it done.
Come on, let's get it done. Listen, you want a nice younger center next to John Wall. Good finisher. Candace, he has great hands. Just incredible hands. And when he tries, he's really good.
Man, you would have to get rid of Otto, not just Gortat.
We'll take Otto happy. Yeah, I know. Happy. Yeah, send him over. Do you guys want James Johnson as well? That guy has a lot of heart.
No, Deion Waiters.
Yeah, Deion.
Deion started.
I don't think Ernie's going to pull the trigger on that deal. Sorry, gentlemen.
They don't need another ball handling.
What about Tyler Johnson's on a great contract?
It's getting rid of Gortat. And to be honest, they can sit it out for another year. And I think him and John will be able to be professionals. I don't have any doubt in my mind that he'll be able to at least contribute. He is a great screen setter. But
do they actively hate each other? Like,
I think their relationship has soured over these 5 years.
But like, would you use the word hate? Would you say that John Wall and Gortat hate each other?
Again, these guys haven't been on my couch. I haven't got into their deep, dark emotions. Gotcha. I would say that they are tired of each other.
If Gortat is having a birthday party, would he invite John Wall?
No, it was very interesting that last year, John is another one who's learning to lead. And he would tell you, he didn't start his career as a leader. And one of his ways that he's trying to develop as a leader, that he's a gatherer of people, or he shows acts of generosity, like buying his teammates Rolexes for Christmas. So at the beginning of the year, he hosted a Halloween party, I think the Cavaliers do that. So he probably took a playbook from LeBron, and so he invited his whole entire teammates. Everybody dressed up. Who was not there? Two guys, Marcin Gortat and Thomas Satoransky. I'm not saying Thomas Satoransky and him have beef because I don't believe that. Thomas Satoransky. But Gortat.
He's white, isn't he? He's white, isn't he?
European, yes. But Gortat was not there. And I was, and that was like very early in the season. I was like, oh, that's interesting. No Gortat, eh?
Gortat always looks like he's wearing a Halloween costume, though. So he probably just didn't get the memo.
he got rid of the mohawk, so I don't know if that helps.
Well, hold on, Candace, we got to get to the bottom. Was he not invited, or was he did not go?
That's an excellent question. I believe the whole entire team was invited. That would be funny if you didn't get the invite and just saw the pictures on Instagram. That would be like a mean girl move.
Oh my! Could you imagine Gortat just sitting at home, like getting ready? You know, wonder what the guys are doing. Luke pulls up Instagram, sees Bradley Beal having fun. What's going on here?
That's funny.
That would hurt. I can see why they hate each other.
No, I don't know if he was about it or not, but
listen, folks, that was journalism done by Candace.
It's what I went to school for.
But you report on what is it? Wallowween?
Wallowween.
Wallowween.
And I just I counted the faces on Instagram because everybody, all the guys were like tweeting from it or Instagramming about it. So I think it was pretty much everybody except two. And maybe Thomas Satoransky wasn't there. Maybe his gram just wasn't popping. But
well, I mean, do you even know what this Radaramsky person looks like? Are we sure that he's real? Maybe you didn't recognize.
You know, he started like 30 games for John Wall.
He did?
He was their backup point guard.
Oh, wow. That's like a name that you could tell me and I would think it's made up.
Satoransky, or you say Radaransky or Satoransky?
He was like one of the greatest waiver.
So, see, I don't even know. Is it Satoransky or Radaransky? I thought you said Radaransky, but is it Satoransky?
Yeah. Satoransky.
If that was a multiple choice test, that would have been like one of those curveballs that a teacher throws. Which Candace, the following is not a real
Candace,
point.
He hosts a podcast, an NBA podcast. Just a reminder.
With sponsors, which by the way, shout out to Doral Toyota. Se habla español en el Doral Toyota. Go over there, visit. Mention Heat Beat. You'll get served by a manager.
That's not our live read, is it?
It's not our live read. It's pre-recorded. We'll insert it later. But the audience can't know. That was bonus for Doral Toyota. That's bonus for you guys. If you know, Brian, you have the sound of LeBron, the Stephen A, right?
I've been waiting, yes.
If LeBron comes, we'll send him over to Doral Toyota. I'm sure he'd be interested. Play the sound.
LeBron's people would say you're wrong. I'm not sure you are, but they would say you're wrong, just for the record, that he hasn't narrowed his choices. He hasn't made his decision. It's still wide open. I'm sort of the mindset that it's Cleveland or L.A. I've heard rumblings that Miami's got an outside chance of returning to Miami. I wish, Lord.
Me too. But what could they do?
Don't tease me like that. Please don't tease me. I don't even want to think about that, okay? But I will say this to you. And the other side, as an aside.
That's it.
I'm woke.
He broke it the first time. And he broke the first back time. Too.
Listen, I know Alex, are you there? That'd be glorious if he's not there. Of course he's not there. Okay, so I'm alone here. I'm on this LeBron coming back train. I think we have an outside chance. I believe.
Candace, can you tell him he's an idiot, please?
Candace, tell me I'm an idiot. Because I believe.
I'll end with this, gentlemen. I would say you're probably not an idiot.
Ah, there you go. Oh. Candace Buckner, everyone. Follow her at Candace D. Buckner on Twitter. Follow her work, Post Sports. Candace, thank you so much for joining the program today. You've been excellent and spectacular.
Thanks for having me, guys. I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Thank you so much. My favorite part of that, guys. The best part was when Alex, you are there, Alex. His mic's not working.
No, he's
Jesus
not.
Christ. I hate, we can't even have a guest on.
I don't understand what's happening.